All right, gift certificate right now, Sorgles, if you're the 10th caller. That number, 412-922-1020. He's Doug. We want to talk to you. Gardening, let's go, let's go, let's go. Line them up. Anything on your mind, get in here so you don't get a busy signal right now. 866-391-1020. So Janoski's is having this food truck night of dishes around the world. On Thursday, going to be a big ticket item at the farm. And I thought, what better person to ask about food around the world than this guy? Of all of the places that you traveled, your favorite food?
Italy.
No doubt?
No doubt. Then Croatia. Then Portugal.
Oh, jeez.
What kind of stuff will you eat like that? Will you eat anything different? Or no. Is it just macaroni and cheese or cold Chef Boyardee ravioli?
Listen, can't beat SpaghettiOs. No, I'm just...
You don't eat that, do you? You don't eat SpaghettiOs.
No, I wish.
Did you used to eat it when you were a kid?
Yeah, man. That was for rich kids, though.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to think. There probably was some kind of generic, you know.
Hey, but how about the sweet corn at Janoski's and all around? That's delicious.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Oh man, and I haven't had any yet, and I can't wait to have some. How do you do your corn? How do you cook your corn?
I just boil it in hot water.
So when I worked at the Medina County Gazette, a guy who used to always write into the op-ed page. Ran into him with the editor in some strip mall, and he told us to do it on the grill with my
dad, aluminum foil.
That no aluminum foil, no nothing, just
on the grate
with the what am I saying? The leaves, the shuck, don't shuck it with all that left on it.
Wow,
and do it on the grill, and that's for me the best way to have corn. And there's just nothing like it. That
well, I figured I better get some this year while I still have choppers.
Yeah, while you still have teeth. Yeah. I know. Well, hey, you can always just scrape it off the ear.
Listen,
you know,
God rest her soul. But I had an aunt who could have been an opera singer. She was incredible. She was so talented.
Talented was she?
She could eat corn on the cob with dentures.
Oof!
And she made it work. She loved my grandmother's corn on the cob. My uncle used to have these corn roasts, in which people would just show up along Little Beaver Creek. I mean, there'd be hundreds there. They'd just get big vats of water, throw in the corn, get a couple of kegs of beer, a couple of bottles of whiskey. Everybody had a great time.
It sounds like a great time to me.
How'd fishing go last week?
Fishing was great. 10-mile float. This old man was 10 miles of rapids and caught a lot of fish.
That's good. All right, listen, but I was out past Sorgles the other day. These places are doing incredibly well right now, so get out and support these wonderful sponsors that support Doug. But I want you to call now with these garden questions. Don't wait until like the second segment. By then, you're going to get a busy signal. So anything on your mind, call us 866-391-1020. Now it's time for his opening commentary. Lots to get to. The star of the show, DougOster.com, Mr. Doug Oster.
Well, I would love to hear from you today. See how your garden is doing. I've been getting lots of reports from out there. And one of the things that I'm hearing a lot about are lilacs. And probably every day now I'm getting a question about lilacs with leaves that are browning, and people are worried. Well, it's a fungal issue that at this point there's really nothing you can do, but it's nothing really to worry about. The lilac will be fine, but it's going to look awful. The combination of heat and all the rain has caused many, many fungal issues on plants, such as tomatoes, lilacs, zucchinis, phlox, things like that. This is just part of it. And so, let's talk gardening today. Otherwise, you're going to have to listen to Rob and I talk about rock and roll or corn or who knows what. Now, I have a big event coming up on Thursday. I'd love you to be part of it. On Thursday, I'm going to be back at the Pittsburgh Botanic Garden with my friend Dr. Mark Miller, and we do these occasional botanic walk and talks, and it's so much fun. We'll be out in the garden for a good hour and a half, and then there's a really wonderful lunch they put on for us, and they've got this amazing art display out there. I posted some pictures on my Facebook page. It's a really cool art display. And so it's $45 for garden members and $55 for non-members, but we have a lot of fun and we get lots of people. It is also Rose of Sharon time. love them or hate them, let me know. Call in. Rosa Sharon, I love them. I tell the story all the time that when I moved here almost 30 years ago from the Cleveland area, I brought a couple truckloads of plants with me, and some of those things were little Rose of Sharon seedlings, because where my kids played basketball, my kids now, my boys anyway, are 39 and 40, and when they were kids, they played basketball right under this giant Rose of Sharon. And that Rose of Sharon took a beating from the basketball, and Rose of Sharon has a special meaning to me. I love having something blooming this time of the year. And I have a couple different types of Rose of Sharon out there. And one of them is sterile, meaning it won't have babies. And that's one of the things that makes people hate Rose of Sharon, is that there are so many babies and it just goes crazy and they drop seeds everywhere. Well, this one that I've fallen in love with, it's called Sugar Tip Rose of Sharon, and it has variegated white and green foliage and then pink double blossoms. So double just means kind of like frilly, and oh, it has not bloomed yet. All the other Rose of Sharons have started. It blooms a little later, and I've got another one of the Chiffon series that has, again, it's a double bloom. And, it's just to have something in bloom this time of the year. I have a good friend, and he always told me about Rose of Sharon, like, well, I don't like them because they're blooming when most things aren't. And I'm like, that's why I love them. They're in their glory in midsummer. And the other thing that's in its glory right now, and I've been talking about it for the last few weeks because I can't get enough, are the lilies. It's been an incredible year for lilies, and you can get bargains on lilies right now. You could buy some bulbs at a nursery right now. As soon as those flowers fall off that plant, they go on sale. It is hard to sell a lily stalk. It's easy to sell lily flowers in a pot, but it is very difficult to sell a lily stalk. And I've been using the lilies out there for cut flowers, bringing them in. I'm sending some to my daughter-in-law tomorrow. And this is also bargain time. We talk a lot about this on the show because I am the biggest cheapskate in the world. And boy, I love getting a deal. And there are so many things on sale right now at the nurseries. I know we're midsummer. I know you probably, I planted everything on Memorial Day. Well, I'm still planting. I like to keep planting. As far as harvesting is concerned, cucumbers are coming in, but I'm still waiting on beans. What about you? What are you harvesting? I want to know. In this week's television show, in this week's In Doug's Garden, we went out to the Pittsburgh Zoo and PPG Aquarium. Did you know how many cool gardens they have out there? It's just amazing, and it's where animals and plants live in consort. It is really cool. Also in the show, my friend Buddy Lee, who was on the show a few months ago, he invented the Encore Azalea, and he sent me 3 Encore Azaleas. Encore Azalea is an azalea that will bloom more than once, and not all Encore Azaleas will be good for our area. You have to get the right one. So he sent me ones that were hardy for our region. And actually, you can go to DougOster.com and listen to that segment on Buddy Lee and learn a little bit more about Encore Azalea and how he created them. Also in the show, our friend Rob Kruljack from the Davy Tree Expert Company schools us on lace bugs, which are bad this year. Lace bugs are on Japanese pierras, rhododendron, azaleas, and they've been pretty bad. And while I was planting those azaleas, I cracked my favorite shovel in half. Ooh. And so it's called a bantam shovel. And the second one I ever had, the first one with my grandparents, the second one was a gift from our friend Brenda Waters back in the day when I worked with her. And this one I cracked, and I've got a great tip on how to get that wood out of the business end of the shovel. Give us a call. We are talking gardening after the break.
866-391-1020. All right, we're going right to the phone, so let's get going. 866-391-1020. Here's John in Washington for Doug Oster, DougOster.com. Go ahead, John.
Okay, Flanders, in the buckets again. A number of weeks ago, Doug suggested 15-gallon buckets. Well, I called a couple nurseries. One had them in stock. Before I drive for an hour and a half, I called again a week later. They said, oh, we don't have them anymore. So what I did, got in touch with Option Supply in, I guess it's the Baldwin Township. They had commercial size garbage cans, plastic, heavy duty. They're like 36 gallon. So I cut them in half. That was a chore. But I planted.
How did you cut them in half?
With a big sharp Bowie knife.
Oh, gosh.
And a lot of muscle. And I cut the holes in the bottom to get them drainage. Anyway, the buckets were, 12 by 14. 12 wide, 14 deep. These buckets that I cut in half were 20 by 16. A lot of width, a lot of soil, heavy. In any event, I put the pit moss, tall, good, a lot of topsoil. It's three or four types of tomatoes now are like four feet, 3.5, 4 feet tall. And I get no tomatoes. I get a lot of growth, the buds, a lot of leaves. They look good, but they're producing nothing. My son suggests you get some liquid fertilizer and start trimming leaves off the top of the buds because they're draining energy off the plant. What are your suggestions?
Well, a lot of times tomatoes will not put on fruit when it's really, really hot. And the other thing can be pollination issues. And so a tomato is actually self-pollinating, meaning that both male and female parts are in that flower. And what happens is a bee will fly up to that flower and it will try and get in, but it can't get in. And just that buzzing combines the male and the female parts, and that's what puts the tomato on. So here's one suggestion, is to shake the plants, to physically shake the plants to try and get the male and female parts to mix. And then the other thing is we wait until good weather, until things cool off a little bit, which won't be long. You know, we get down to the 80s. Monday it's 84, and then we get hot again, but mid-80s won't be that bad. And they'll start putting on tomatoes on when they're ready. As far as cutting the tops of the tomato plants off, I don't do that until we get into September, once we have fruit on the plant already. I wouldn't worry about them draining energy, especially since they look so good. And since you've put such good stuff into that big pot, I think it's just a case of heat and or pollination. As I said, shake that plant. I think that's going to help, and you'll start to see them put on tomatoes. Did you grow anything special as far as the tomatoes are concerned?
I forget. I'm 81 years old. I'm seven stories up. I get a deck outside.
Wow.
About 4 by 12. I get sun from about 1 until 8 or 9 at night.
Yeah, that's the other thing. You're getting that.
I want to mention it. I never see any bees up here. It's pretty high.
So yeah. I would every morning I would give those plants a little bit of a shake, and I bet you're going to get tomatoes. Give me a call back when you start getting tomatoes on there, okay, John?
I shall. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. And we should talk a little bit about planting in this type of weather. As I said, I'm still planting. When I got those azaleas sent to me, normally I wouldn't be planting azaleas in July, but they're going to do so much better off in the ground than they would in that pot. These plants came to me with very substantial root ball on them. And so I was basically had them in kind of a morning sun, afternoon shade spot in the garden, but still under those circumstances, I still had to water every day. These Encore azaleas mean a lot to me because, Buddy Lee sent them to me. Buddy Lee, I knew of Buddy Lee. I knew of his creation, this Encore azalea. But when I walked in like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when I walked into this trade show I go to every January, Mid-Atlantic Nursery Trade Show in Baltimore. I love going, see all my garden friends. I learn about all the new introductions. Well, when I walked in there, Buddy Lee knew who I was. He followed me online and came up to me, and from that moment on, we became good friends. He came with me to Iceland. We had a ball in Iceland. I got this beautiful picture of him with the Northern Lights behind him. And so he told me then, he goes, I got to send you some of these Encore, because I always had heard the Encore Azalea couldn't grow here. But he said, no, I've got ones now that are hardy enough for you. And so I'm looking forward to that, because they're supposed to bloom like three times a year. And under these circumstances, putting them in the ground like 4 or 5 days ago, and again, it's morning sun, afternoon shade. That's where I want my azaleas. And I'm watering a couple times a week, just really soaking them in. We've talked about watering in the past, but if you don't get rain, you want to soak those plants in and soak them in the morning, not just sprinkle. Soak them. So when I was watering those azaleas, even though they were just planted and had nice soft soil and could soak up the water, I was leaving the hose running there for a couple minutes while I was doing other jobs. And then I've got three plants in, nice size plants, and then move the hose every time. If you're going to plant in this weather, plant later in the day when things cool off a little bit. Let those plants get established. And of course, water when you're planting. I have a few containers left. I just saw one in the greenhouse. I still have two tomatoes left in the greenhouse that I never got in. I want to get in the ground. My peas have just finished. Believe it or not, usually they're done a month before this. But I'm growing a variety called Shiraz Purple, and it goes late into the season. I'm letting them go to seed. I'm going to let them drop their own seeds and then naturally sprout so that I've got fall peas. I don't usually put my fall peas in until next month, into August, but you've got to time it right so you've got enough time to get those peas. The other thing in the garden is the fig tree is filled with figs. I mean filled. This is going to be the most figs as long as everything goes as planned, but I've got little figs. No, what would be the size? Size of marbles. And just filling this big giant tree. Can't remember who was in the garden, and they looked over and said, I've never seen a fig tree that big. And every winter that comes up, I got to bury that fig tree, put it horizontal and bury it under bags of compost. When the time's right, I will have my friend Steve Biggs on, and he'll talk all about how to put that fig tree to sleep or how to bring it into the garage for the winter. The only reason I'm growing figs is that first trip to Italy, gosh, how many years ago? 15 years ago for our 25th anniversary, and seeing my wife's cousin's orchard of figs and eating those figs, warm figs, while looking out at the Mediterranean. She said, can we grow figs? And I'm like, yeah, we can grow figs, but it is not easy. You have to have a reason to grow figs, and that's the reason.
All right, what's coming up?
Your calls. Stack them up. Let's talk gardening. This is what we're here for. It's the middle of the summer. Let's have some fun and talk gardening.
Didn't you mention Luke earlier in the program?
I mentioned Rob.
Oh, Rob Kruljack.
Rob Kruljack.
Okay, so
he seems to really like to do the TV stuff. Luke used to do it with him, but I think Rob is kind of like forcing his way in there. He likes doing it.
All right, well, he's got to take care of those guys. We'll take a short break. We'll come back. Come on, call us, 866-391-1020. Okay, this is from Kevin, as in the good doctor, Dr. Wong. Wants me to ask you this, Doug. What is the natural way to keep your grass nice without invasive grasses, you say?
Well, that's a long, convoluted answer, but you want to make sure that soil, if you give the grass the right pH and the right fertility, it will outgrow anything. That's why we try so hard to keep it out of our flower beds, out of our vegetable garden. Those roots are around in this awful soil. They get to that flower bed and they're like, wow, and they move in there. The number one thing for your lawn is to get a soil test. Go get from the Penn State Cooperative Extension, get a soil test. That will give you a scientific number as far as pH and fertility are concerned, and then you can take it from there. If you don't want weeds in the garden, I'm sorry, if you don't want weeds in the lawn, you've got to let that grass outgrow them. That's what I love to do. There is an organic weed control that I really like, and it's called corn gluten meal. But we only use it early in the spring. It stops seeds from sprouting, all seeds, but we use it on the lawn to stop crabgrass from growing. That's a great way to keep crabgrass out. Rob, is there a caller waiting, or should I keep talking about grass?
No, we do not have that caller anymore.
Yeah, he dropped. So okay, that's okay. So let's continue on the grass. And so we get our soil test. We get these numbers, and then we can amend the soil to bring that pH back to what it should be and the fertility. When I talk about fertility, I always want to talk about this fertilizer I love, and it's called Revita for the lawn because it's organic, it's inexpensive, and you can find versions of it all over. The Pittsburgh Agway stores, there's 6 Agway stores. Hahn Nursery carries it, and for 50 pounds, it's like $25 maybe, and I bought a bag of that this spring for my tomatoes, for my other stuff, and so it was great. I think we got our caller back, Rob.
All right. We have Diane. This is a different caller, but go ahead, Diane.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So the question I have this morning is, I told my husband, we learned through my brother, to really guard the broccoli this year because the rabbits just seem to find that, I think, if they're tasty. Is that, would you agree?
Yes, they love broccoli.
So he did a great job protecting that. And then next thing you know, he says to me the other day, like, look at this. It looks like Queen Anne's lace on the leaves. Now, my question is, A, what can we do to treat this? And B, if the leaves are too far gone, are we at no recourse to...
No. Those are called cabbage worms. And
okay. And
the way you protect the broccoli against the rabbit, we use a different protection for the cabbage worm. But that ship has sailed. Whenever we plant anything from the cabbage family, broccoli, kale, cabbage, collards, whatever it is, I always put this thing on top called this floating row cover. It's a spun-bound translucent fabric, really lightweight. And what's happening is the cabbage looper butterfly is coming. It's laying its eggs. That broccoli is its host plant. And then they hatch, and you get these little green worms. If you look closely, you'll see them.
Okay.
And they start eating up the broccoli. So we can't. That like I said, that ship sailed. So now we use another organic control to deal with the cabbage worms because you don't want to put anything on there. You're going to be eating that broccoli.
Yeah, exactly.
And so there's a great product, and it has a funny name. It's called Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. And it's an organic product. It can't hurt you. It can't hurt the good bugs. But you spray it on the plant, and whenever that cabbage worm nibbles on that and it has the Captain Jacks on it, it affects the cabbage worm's nervous system and the cabbage worm stops feeding and dies. And again, it's completely safe for humans, for pets. It only affects insects, and it's only that type of insect, a chewing insect. And so, yeah, you'll get your broccoli. Have they started to head up at all for you yet?
Yeah. We have nice little, golf balls,
nice.
A little bit larger size, you know, nuggets sitting in there. And, you know, we were just afraid that without the leaves, we'll continue to develop or...
The first thing to do, and this is kind of disgusting, is go out there, find those little green worms on there because they're really well camouflaged and just pick them off. You know, you could knock them into a thing of soapy water. You can squish them. Depends on your tolerance for disgusting insects. And, that'd be the first thing I would do is physically remove them. Then the next round of them, I'd have that Captain Jack's on there. And if they do come, they'll ingest that and they'll be gone. And then you'll have these nice, big, beautiful heads of broccoli that you saved from those rabbits. and you'll be able to enjoy them. How are you going to eat that broccoli? What are you going to do with it? Stir fry, or what are you going to do with it?
My first pick is I love steaming it. The other that I like doing is grilling it as well as roasting it in
That sounds good.
Yeah, I make a really nice, actually, roasted broccoli and cauliflower, sort of like a Mediterranean kind of salad with some purple onions, and use some of the fresh herbs to either make like a vinaigrette dressing or also make it into like a yogurt dressing.
When can I come over? This sounds great.
Anytime. Anytime. I'm sweating in the kitchen as we speak. So,
All right. Well, good luck with that broccoli. And if you have any more problems, just please give me a call, all right?
Yeah. If you could just repeat, I'm sorry, the floating row cover.
Yeah, that's the day that you plant anything from that. You can find it in a nursery. It's called a floating row cover. It is it's just this like lightweight translucent fabric, and the day you plant them, you got to do that, and then it's a physical barrier to stop the butterfly from laying its eggs. You'll never have cabbage worms, and you put that over there. We use that on things like cabbage and broccoli because they don't need pollination, so the bees don't have to get in there. If we were to use that on like cucumbers early in the season, we'd have to pull it off when they started to flower so that the bees could do their thing. And the floating row cover is inexpensive. It's in a roll. You can get different sizes. And then you can use it year after year, which is nice.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Plant another crop of broccoli from seed pretty soon. Like put some seeds out there in the garden, and then you'll have broccoli in the fall too.
Great.
All right.
Awesome.
Thank you.
So much.
All right, we're going to wait to take a call on the other side of the break. Tell them what you got coming up here. We got about a minute before the break.
Well, I want to talk real quick before we go to the break about tomato suckers. I've gotten a lot of questions from people saying, do I remove the suckers on a tomato or do I leave them on? And that's just like in the crotch of the plant, there'll be these little growths that don't flower. Now we call that a sucker. And there's two schools of thought. Some people will remove them and thinking that there's more energy going into making the tomato. And then secondly, that there's people like me who leave them on to shade the tomato. The tomatoes don't need sun. They need shade. With just full sun, they'll get sun scald on them. And the other thing with me, I'm just too lazy. I put those tomatoes in a cage and just let them do their thing. So it's up to you on what you want to do. There's no wrong answer there.
All right, again, number to talk to Doug, 866-391-1020. Next hour on the Coons Cooking Hour, budget-friendly meals. Then it's Best Of Edition of Tri-State Neuropathy Center. Of course, Dr. Sean Ritchie, 10 o'clock Accurate Solutions. Today on the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show, we've got the pro from Swickley Heights Golf Club, Steve Hopley. We're going to talk about the Genesis Scottish Open, but more importantly, why it's the lead-up, the big preview, the final slam of the year, the British Open. Pirate news, Paul Skeens going to be starting again for the National League in the All-Star Game. We'll have that and more in sports. Moments away. Your Pratt Pack, KDKA. All right, listen, Mr. Oster has given me my orders. We've got every line on hold. One question, keep it short so everybody gets an opportunity. Here's Mark in Cranberry. Mark, go ahead. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Here's my question. I built my dream home, my son and I, a greenhouse. I was talking to you guys about it last year, but here's my dilemma. Every hanging basket that I have is dying or they're dead. Cucumbers, my tomatoes, my hanging tomatoes, my cherry tomatoes. What I have on the shelves are okay. I have a drip irrigation through solar. I have solar fans in there, and it is around 100 degrees in there.
Ugh. It's way too hot. And what people do with the greenhouse, when they get to summer, they put shade cloth on it. And I hate to add another job for you guys, but it's just too much. You know, that greenhouse is amazing until we get to July and halfway through August. After that, you're going to be golden. You're going to be fine. But this midsummer in a greenhouse is difficult. You can see the drip irrigation is making all the difference in the world on the shelves, but anything that's just kind of hanging there, it's almost impossible to keep enough water on it. You would have to water probably two, three times a day. And so I would I would forget the hanging baskets, to tell you the truth, for the midsummer. Hanging baskets back up there probably end of August, and then you'll be able to go all the way. You'll have this long, amazing season. It's just this midsummer. It's just too much for the stuff that's in there. Okay, Mark?
All right, let's next caller. We only got a couple minutes left. Here's Susan in Natrona Heights. Go ahead, Susan.
Hi. We have tulip bulbs, and I know it's early. We're not planting yet, but our tulips, we put Rapalzol in the holes with them, and they were beautiful this spring, but the chipmunks have totally decimated my tulip garden. Is
right.
there anything I can do, or do I just consider them annuals?
I basically consider them annuals, but here's the thing I do. The Rapalzol is a good idea, but here's another trick to give them maybe another season is when we get to fall, soak those bulbs in a liquid repellent. I'm using one called Bob-X, and I find that when I'm soaking them in that for maybe 5 minutes and then I plant them, I'm doing it with my crocuses, I'm getting like 2 years, sometimes three out of them where they won't go after them. And so it's nothing wrong with the Rapalzol. I would use that too, but I would soak them in a liquid repellent also to give you a little bit more time. But in general, even without talking about the chipmunks, in general, tulips have kind of become annuals. Okay. All right. Off to the next caller, Rob. We want to make sure we get everybody.
All right, Cindy, go ahead. You're on the air with Doug.
Good morning, Doug. I have a question. What's your recommendation for good garlic? I pulled my garlic, and there's some I'm not real happy with. Do you have, like, certain varieties
There's two varieties that I really love. One is called Music, and the other one's called German White. Now, if you happen to be out by Janoski's, that's where I'm buying my garlic. And yeah. I think last year it might have been Music that they had. You're buying it as a food crop, which is cheaper than a seed crop, but food and seed garlic is the same if it's locally grown. And I'm telling you what, they have huge heads of garlic. Now, if you go down the rabbit hole a little bit on garlic, there's a bunch of other ones that I love. One called Spanish Roja, one called Georgian Fire. I could go on and on and on, but the reason I talk about Music and German White is that they give you the bulb that you're used to seeing in the store. It's the big bulb. I find, actually, like the Spanish Roja, it's a smaller bulb, smaller cloves, so it's harder to use in the kitchen, but the flavor on it is killer. And For non-garlic people, this is going to sound silly, but every garlic has its own heat and own flavor. And so if you really wanted to go deep down the rabbit hole, send me an email through DougOster.com. We could talk about garlic for hours. But you can find that Music in German White just about anywhere. And depending on where you're located, I would head out when it's planting time, head out to Janoski's.
I'm near Hans.
Okay, well, Hans is going to have three different varieties there. They had last year, they had Music and two other good ones, and I can't remember the other two they had. And so they'll have at least three different garlics there. So you're in my neck of the woods. And we plant in October and harvest, like right now we've already harvested. So
yes.
All right, thank you very much for the call. 30, we did it, Rob.
30 seconds, all yours.
All right. Keep planting. I can't stress that enough. I'm still filling up containers. I love to keep planting all season long. And because our season is longer, I could buy a flat of begonias here at a certain point for $2-3, stick them in some containers, and they're going to go all the way until, halfway through October, maybe into November, who knows. So don't stop. Go get some bargains, too. Go save some money. When people come to the garden, you can just point to it and say, I've got that for $2. Remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
News coming up next, and then it's budget-friendly meals on the Coons Cooking Hour on KDKA.